Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to episode 58 of the AI Comic Pod, brought to you as always by the Anfield Index. A bit of an off-the-cuff reaction piece tonight. We've already done one of these before, and we've now had the final trailer released for Infinity War, and we couldn't help ourselves, so we thought the only logical thing to do was another girly, screamy, overly excited, possibly soaked in bodily fluids reaction piece.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, start as you mean to go on.
Well, yeah.
As you can tell from my legendary eloquence and my wonderful vocabulary, I'm Stu and I'm hosting this evening. You've been treated to Rory's dulcet tones far too much recently, so you've got to slum it with me for tonight. And how are you this evening, sir?
I'm all right. It's been quite a tough week at work, so the trailer dropping today, it's kind of been the highlight of my week, really, which, you know, it just gave me excited for what's to come, because it is going to be monumental. I had the word colossal used quite recently, and I think that's a good way of describing what we've got ahead of us.
And it was released early as well.
Earlier than I expected, yeah.
They normally put them out about 4 or 5 o'clock our time, and it was out.
It normally drops, Good Morning America, it normally drops, doesn't it? So yeah. I don't know if that's West or East Coast, but it's probably at least 2-3 o'clock our time. And it drops about 1 o'clock, I think, our time. So that's pretty early.
Yeah, pretty early. I wasn't expecting it. Well, I mean, we obviously knew it was coming out today because...
They
don't trickle feed and say, oh, you know, it might.
No, there's no point.
They do a teaser for a trailer saying, this time tomorrow you get your final trailer, because they're not stupid. They know it'll start trending online.
Yeah.
Every single account starts posting the little teaser videos, and then they all get shared, and they must rack up billions of views and shares.
The views are insane. I mean, social media is the marketing tool, isn't it, for these places? Yeah. I mean, Marvel does it exceptionally well, and I think they know how to use, utilize, and twist and, you know, bend it in their advantage. But they really do. Like, social media has just exploded everything like that. And it's what's so positive, because you get a trailer. And, you know, obviously IMDb gets it straight away and everything else. So I've always watched these trailers, but there's never any hype around them. Do you know what I mean? There's never any anticipation, a teaser trailer of a trailer. I mean, Jesus Christ, none of this existed years ago. And none of this would have existed when Iron Man came out. Do you know what I mean? Not like it is now. And Iron Man did how much revenue all those years ago. Do you know what I mean? So it's testament to how good the films are and the word on the street. And
they learn, don't they? Certainly every, maybe not from film to film, but from phase to phase.
Yeah, there's a definite learning curve. Yeah.
They just improve and just slightly hone. Their advertising has always been good, but they just get better. Like, Ran the release of Ragnarok.
Up since Ragnarok, yeah, exactly. So they, Ragnarok, Black Panther, this, it's so much better.
Well, with Ragnarok, Guardians 2, and Black Panther, they're doing little cutesy things like they put a little emoji on the end of a hashtag.
Oh, the emojis are cool, man. I'm a fan of the emojis.
And it makes people use them because for Ragnarok, they had at least half a dozen. They had probably nearly about 10 for Black Panther because they had all the main ones, and then hashtag Wakanda Forever was going for a long, long time. Considering the film's only been out a month, it seems like that hashtag's been around for about a year because it was attached to everything, and it's leaped over in, and it's being used in a sporting context. And
yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It's weird. Everywhere, man. Yeah, I tweeted out from the account earlier on, I think the majority of the emojis and stuff, and some really pretty damn cool ones. The Groot one and Doctor Strange one's ace.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, some of them are ace, man. Spider-Man always looks good in that capacity. Thor has only got one eye. That's pretty cool. Yeah, man, I think they're cool. I think, you know, Nebula's got one. Did we see any Nebula? We've not seen Nebula.
We've not seen Nebula in anything, really.
No, so Nebula, not in the poster either. You know, the poster out today, which is a really, really damn cool poster as well.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's amazing, isn't it? I just want a copy of it to stick up on my kid's wall because that's my and his den, essentially, for Marvel. Because it's just, yeah, it's just an awesome poster. Poor old Wong and Vision had like blurred into the background, but everyone else is just getting front and center treatment. Except, and I think we'll talk about a couple of characters that aren't going to appear in this because there's been a few questions around this. Ant-Man and the Wasp who people won't know as well because hasn't appeared
in
the suit yet.
Not in this film.
Yeah. But neither is Ant-Man either. Is he?
Ant-Man's in the film.
What, in Infinity Wars? He's in the second one, but I don't think he's in the first one.
I thought he was supposed to be in this because the Ant-Man and the Wasp is meant to take place after the events of this.
No, my understanding was that he isn't in this.
Oh, okay.
And he comes into the second film with the Wasp. But, I mean, we will see. But I'm pretty sure that's the case. And then also we know that, obviously, Captain Marvel... in a nicely, we got a poster, don't we? In a suit and everything. The suit on set didn't look that great, but when you see the poster and when they've got all the graphics and stuff, it looks amazing.
It looks really cool. The one she's wearing on those leaked set pictures, it's not meant to be the Captain Marvel suit. It's like a flight suit, which then gets adapted. But everybody knows you never trust the on set. Behind the scenes pictures because they've been taken from about half a mile away,
and it's all green screen and stuff as well. You know, you got to think about how
everything gets color corrected in the post production.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do for this, then, what I've done is I've gone through and I've pretty much watched it section by section and just sort of storyboarded it a little bit because there's so much. They've given away a lot. But without really giving anything away.
I think you kind of know the structure of the film now. I think we always knew, and the Russos always described it as a heist film. So it's about Thanos getting hold of the Infinity Stones one at a time, along with the Black Order, who are going to be attacking other elements to try and get the stones as quickly as possible. The thing that surprised me that they revealed in this is what Gamora reveals in the first opener, which is...
I like the fact they've opened it with Gamora rather than starting off with one of the Avengers, which the typical way to open it is with Cap or with Iron Man speaking or Fury, something like that.
I like the fact
they've opened it, and it makes sense because she knows Thanos better than anyone in the film.
Oh, well, exactly, except Nebula. But like we said, we're not going to maybe see Nebula in this film either. But we get an introduction to what Thanos is really trying to do, which is obviously everyone knows he's trying to collect all the stones, but they didn't know why necessarily, unless you've read maybe Infinity Gauntlet or some of the comics surrounding it, which is essentially wipe out half of the global population, not just Earth. You know what I mean? It's the universe.
And it's a really famous scene, isn't it, from the comic where he snaps his finger and then he wipes out half the life in the entire universe. So billions or trillions of lives extinguished at the snap of a finger.
including
what a way to open
certain
it.
Superheroes as well, you know.
Yeah.
And that's quite well known. It's quite interesting, having kind of read that, how much of an important role that Silver Surfer has in the Infinity Gauntlet comic, which obviously we're not going to get unless they decide to change it quick.
It's a damn shame, because he originally comes back, doesn't he? The Return of Thanos came in a Silver Surfer book.
Yes.
And then that leads into Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah. Oh, no, that leads into Thanos War, doesn't it? And then Thanos War leads to Gauntlet, which leads to War.
Yeah, it's intriguing, you know, because there's characters in there that you kind of so used to seeing in comic form and various, but haven't been because of the film rights. But I think you mentioned prior to coming onto this, the second film has a 64-person battle, which will be the largest scale thing we've ever seen in
Marvel cinema, in CG cinema.
Anyway, do you know what I mean? You've had wars, you know, Gladiator, films like that. But at this scale, of this kind of level of CG, it's going to be insane. I mean, the production that's gone into this has been pretty epic. I think Thanos has come on incredibly from what we first saw.
He looks like a real 8-foot blue-skinned Titan. The CGI that they use is absolutely insane. But before we jump into Thanos, we've already covered the very beginning with Gamora. So the first scene after that, we've got Banner, Rhodey, who is now, of course, walking, and Black Widow watching something, and it looks as though they're potentially watching Thanos' forces land. All those, like, six-armed creature things that come running across the Wakandan plain at them.
Yeah.
It looks potentially like there's a landing party arriving. And we've obviously seen in some of the behind-the-scenes photos, Rhodey is wearing some kind of a contraption which is allowing him to walk. So it looks like
I think it's Stark Tech.
Yeah, we said this the other day. You think it's Stark, I think it's Wakandan.
Well, someone else said Stark, but I think, having watched the trailer now, I think it is Stark. Whether it becomes modified or not. But, I mean, Stark is still... I mean, he was obviously experimenting with it at the end of Civil War. But I think he's got enough tech in his locker to build him legs that they won't fix his spinal cord. Maybe Shuri can do that.
See, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if Tony's built him a harness that helps him walk, but then Shuri's going to be able to actually fix his spine in the way she did with Martin Freeman.
Yes.
Whose character name has just completely fallen out of my head.
Oh, God. It's not Ross, is it?
Yeah, Everett Ross. I think Ross, I'm thinking of Thunderbolt Ross, Betty.
Yeah,
Ross,
so am I, actually. That's what came to me.
Which
is
a head fuck. So
Everett Ross, indeed. He is in this film as well.
Well, he will be, because he's the envoy, isn't he, for Wakanda. He'll always,
well,
wherever
is Dinklage in this film? I read that online earlier. I'm sure Peter Dinklage comes into this film, or maybe the next one. And I'm not sure how.
I don't think I've heard anything for this.
All right. Well, I'll see. But he's definitely cast. So
I remember
intriguing.
Seeing something about him being cast, but the way, for anyone that doesn't know, because they're releasing the two films 12 months apart, they haven't filmed one, then gone away and come back. So there's a lot of people that had finished filming their scenes for Avengers 4, while some people hadn't even done their scenes for Avengers 3. And that's why it's been such a monumental production. And I can't remember who it was. It was Scarlett Johansson, actually. They've been doing a lot of on-set press, and they've all been interviewed in the Milano, the Guardian ship, which is cool. And she was saying it was basically, it's like they filmed three films back to back, because there's been so much work going on and so many people and so much action. It feels like a trilogy all being done at once, but it isn't. It's just the two. But these two films is going to be 5 to 5.5 hours of on-screen time, with a cast of 64 people.
I know, it's madness.
And
he is confirmed, actually, Peter Dinklage. He's in the poster, and he's not shown in the poster, but his names are in the poster.
Well, he will, because
sandwiched between Idris Elba and Benedict Wong.
Because he's a major
quite
guy,
intriguing.
People know Peter Dinklage's name, so you'd want
to
get him
do.
On the poster.
I think the one thing he might be doing is motion capture for one of the Black Order, because we don't know all the Black Order cast yet.
That's a very good take. It'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, there's something I've read. It's not my take, but I'm quite intrigued by that, because if he's doing the voice, it'd be ace, actually, to be honest. I'd like him to do that. I think he could play someone quite interesting and menacing, because he's got that unique take on things,
and he's very theatrical, isn't he? He's got a good range in his voice. He can be, I mean, we see all sides of him as Tyrion, where he can be a wonderful friendly character, and then he can be really snidey and conniving, and then he can be outright evil and ruthless, all in the space of, you know, three scenes across a 45-minute episode. So
yeah, he's got incredible range, actually. People don't always give him enough. Well, they do, everyone loves him, but you know what I mean, it's intriguing with characters like that, because you're gonna need, well,
you need,
you know,
stature.
Maybe
you need people with stature to really,
well,
carry
you
the
do
film.
I mean you do, and you know, the trailer, I mean, there's so many characters in there now, and it's been great revisiting. I mean, we're both kind of doing it, albeit I'm doing it in a really fucked up order. But The Road to Infinity Wars is great, man, because I've seen all these films a lot.
I've been loving doing this again.
It's been so fun, like, catching up with all these characters. And, you know, I watched Iron Man trilogy, and I haven't seen Iron Man 3 since forever. Do you know what I mean? And the first Iron Man film I watched with my little boy and my little girl, they both really loved it, and I forgot how good it was. Do you know what I mean? You go back and go, Christ, that film's amazing.
It really is. I said the same thing after I watched it.
It's honestly, it's in my top five, because how good it is. I can't not put it in there. It's just such a well-rounded film. And then that kind of reminded me how disappointing Iron Man 2 was. But then I like Iron Man 3 again. I thought it really quite redeemed a lot of the things, because it gave, you know, Tony some humility, you know. And there's been some really surprises in there for me, and it's been great. And it's a couple of films. I still need to see Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, and
Next one is Ant-Man.
Oh, I watched that again recently. It's such a cool film.
It's a shame that I actually said that, because we had a perfect segue into the next scene from the bloody trailer,
I'll get excited.
We've got Thanos' ship, looks like it's shooting up into the atmosphere. And we know pretty much that Spider-Man is on top of that. So then
we've seen
Iron
that in
Man.
The first trailer. Yeah,
we see Iron Man racing after him, and then you see with one of the new first suit. Benefits of the Bleeding Edge suit, where all of a sudden his feet thrusters turn into a gigantic rocket engine, and he just shoots up after the
ship. It's so cool, man! That suit,
suit just completely redefines everything. For anyone that doesn't know, without going too comicky, basically it's a nanotechnology suit that can become anything. So he just thinks, I want my normal thrusters to turn into a rocket, and they turn into a rocket. He could go, I want a giant cannon on my arm that shoots sound waves, and he'll have a giant sound wave cannon on his arm. Anything he can think, he can make. And in a fight
There's a cool video of him suiting up every time on YouTube, you know, as Iron Man, the different ones. And it's good to see the evolution of the suit, because
very quickly, what's your favourite one of his suiting up montages? Mine's always the briefcase one from Iron Man 2.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I it's hard to top that, because I do, for comic value, I like. Is it Iron Man 3 when it hits him right in the gonads?
The modular one.
The modular one is so clumsy, but it's so funny at the same instance. Do you know what I mean? And I've got quite a soft spot for, albeit it's a different suit, but when he Hulk busters up in Ultron.
God. Well, I just watched Age of Ultron
on Monday. When the helmet
comes
down, and I just thought, this is just ace, man. I mean, that scene in Ultron is great, and I think. Well, we've got an epic Hulkbuster scene in this trailer, to be fair. Fuck.
Yeah, that is one of my later points. So after we've got that with Iron Man,
yep.
Nice little Robert Downey Jr. voiceover. We have what Thanos wants, so that's what we use. And then it instantly shows a shot of the Eye of Agamotto and Vision. Yep. So very, very clearly the implication, whether it actually comes off or not, they want to use the Infinity Stones that they've got as bait.
Does it so? Yeah, exactly. It's Iron Man says they've got the upper hand, in the sense that he's got to come to us because we've got what he wants. Do you know what I mean? And that's
dangerously arrogant, because they obviously don't realize that how dangerous Thanos is.
Well, maybe we've come to the realization, right? And we talked about this a little bit. That at the beginning, the cut is quite good, and you think that Tony is talking to Gamora or in attendance ship of Gamora on the ship, but he's not. He's talking to Doctor Strange in the Sanctum Sanctorum. So Doctor Strange will know a certain part about the stones and probably about Thanos. He won't know what Gamora knows. Do you know what I mean? Because he won't know the evil. He won't know the sheer power. And I think Thor is probably learning that point on that ship. Do you know what I mean? And the scenes with Loki and the Black Order are probably on the ship that has left Asgard. And Thor has probably already, you know, gone off towards the Milano. Do you know what I mean? In whether he's been... Yeah, fought off. That's probably likely because we see that. Yeah, we see that kind of, or abandoned ship. Well, his skull has been crushed at one stage by Thanos, so we assume that's probably early doors. And that's what these trailers do, you know, because we obviously get a lot of different scenes and elements and stuff, but most of it's from quite early in the films.
Anything to do with Thor and Loki has got to be first act because when we last saw them. They were on the Asgardian ship just as Thanos' ship appeared behind them. So logically, I would like that to be the very first thing, is a straight into it, this is what happened.
And Sanctum Sanctorum will probably be not far behind. Do you know what I mean? That's because that's when you see Banner crash to the Earth in the first trailer.
Yeah.
And Iron Man presumably rocks up at that stage because it's in New York and linked to Spidey. Although maybe they don't meet till later, but, you know, there's elements there.
And that's the good thing about these trailers. It gets you, we know roughly what the order might be, but it gets you talking and it gets people theorizing. And when you theorize, you go online and you talk about it. And it just keeps the hashtags going and the videos sharing. And
it's a buzz, man. It's a real buzz around it. I mean, I can't remember.
My Twitter's blown up today. Just absolutely blown up.
I can't remember being as excited for film as I am for this. Do you know what I mean? I'm being genuinely, I can't remember anyone having this much, like, across the internet, this much buzz about something coming out.
Well, we said before, it's 10 years in the making, 17 films.
And it's 17 films of ridiculous planning to get to this point as well. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we always praise Marvel.
I can't fathom how much forward thinking you need and how clever,
well, how confident you have to be in your own. Do you know, there's two things about it. So all the directors we keep talking about are all backed. Like, you know, you can feel watching Black Panther, you can, you know, that is a Coogler vision.
Yeah,
that's
they've all been
film,
involved in the decision making process.
Exactly, exactly.
He brought
but
John Favreau,
you can feel,
the Russos, Coogler, Taika Waititi.
Even the guy from Ant-Man, what's his name? I can't remember his name.
It's gone. I've got so much Infinity War stuff in my head that everything else is gone. I don't think I know.
But they brought everyone. They brought everyone that's been involved because it is a collaborative project.
Because it's all their work, isn't it? Every film they've done, even if it's not directly linked, it's all part of the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And everyone should have a say. You know, John Favreau should absolutely have a say. Because
you want
Favreau
involved, man. He's one of Disney's go-to. Do you know what I mean?
He's their guy, isn't he?
He did The Jungle Book. He's doing The Lion King, you know, live kind of remake or whatever they're going to do
with
it.
He's doing this Star Wars series.
He's gone off to do a Star Wars. He's going to do a Star Wars series. And he's obviously so pivotally involved in Iron Man from the beginning. And then he's back in Spider-Man Homecoming acting. And yeah, he's a big guy for them. And you know, it's great to have people like that involved because I think we said, you know, the Russo brothers aren't definitive directors in cinema. Do you know what I mean? But what they are is people that understand vision of how a film should be. They've got really good kind of CG work, but they're great at getting characters to interplay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whedon was the master at Avengers, and obviously he won't be invited back. But Whedon was the master at kind of at that script, at that kind of patter between the actors in the original Avengers. And they don't do that with the Russos as such. It's a different approach. It's not just as clever and light in the script, but they deliver that action and a little bit more heart and depth, I think, than I expected, really. And that's what we saw in Civil War. So you see that coming into these trailers and these shots, you get a sense of the scale of it, but also the interaction between the characters, which I think if that isn't there in these films and the script isn't tight and it doesn't work, you'd be left a little bit disappointed, but I don't think we will be.
No, I don't think we will. Speaking of things that aren't a disappointment, next thing that comes up, Shuri with a hologram of Vision's head.
Which is very interesting.
So obviously now word is starting to get around, because as you alluded to before, there's a few people that know about the stones, and obviously Thor has told a few people, and the Guardians will have told a few people, because they all knew about this way before everyone else did.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange will have told a few people, and now gradually word's getting around, and somebody, it potentially might tie in when we've seen Cap and Black Widow get off a ship in Wakanda and they have like a nice reunion. It could well be that then they go and sit in the council chambers and he sort of sits down and says, look, something really serious is going down. And then they start getting Shuri as the tech into it. But maybe
you've got to think they're trying to get the stone out of his head.
That's what I was going to say. If there's anyone that could do it, you'd think between Shuri and Tony. And maybe but even
because
with some...
to keep it safe, you ideally don't want it locked in someone's head.
It lends itself to Proxima Midnight
ripping his head off. Do you know what I mean? That's the worry.
Yeah, because they need to make sure that they keep it intact, because Vision is one of the strongest members of the team. So they need to keep him as usable.
I don't know Vision in the comics, right? I don't know in what capacity he exists, and I've not read as far as that. But
he is in. Well, I've not read any of those stories, but Vision, on the whole, is an infinitely powerful individual.
Because we'll see that. I don't think he knows how to use his powers. He always feels like he's in his infancy.
Doesn't he, in Civil War? He has that moment with Wanda, and he says he doesn't know anything about the stone. He knows it's an Infinity Stone, but he doesn't know where it comes from, what its limitations are. But in the comics, he's not powered by the stone. It's a little bit different, but I'm intrigued
what if he does, if the stone is indeed removed, which we implied it, well, it's going to be. We just don't know how. I'm intrigued as to what is left behind.
They'll come up with some kind of a roundabout way of saying, because it's been attached to him for so long, he's absorbed a percentage of its power, and it's enough to keep him more than useful. You know, he's not going to all of a sudden become a real weak member of the team. He'll stay powerful.
No. And obviously he's got that close relationship with Scarlet Witch. And we've got to think there is more to come from Scarlet Witch, because we know... Civil War, she was one of the most powerful. She was the most powerful Vision, probably.
She is up there in terms of Captain Marvel. Don't forget, from a comic point of view, she rewrote history by simply saying the words "No more mutants." She erased mutants from existence just by speaking it, because she was worked up. And in Age of Ultron, where she senses that Quicksilver has died, and she has like a burst of emotion, and she rips a couple of dozen Ultron clones apart.
Yeah.
The more emotional she is, the more her powers can ramp up. So if something was to happen to Vision, she could, in theory, I imagine, she could probably get rid of Thanos if she was concentrated and worked up enough. I don't think she will.
She's of that strength. But
she could. In the comics, I think she's considered to be an Omega-level mutant. But obviously in the film, she's not a mutant.
I think it's all about developing her powers. I liked in Civil War that they were kind of going down an angle with her, that she was getting trained for being one of the team as such. You know what I mean? Like a spy. Yeah. And it was a different angle. I still would like... It's hard with all these characters to give them all enough screen time. And obviously these films are centered around Thanos and the big characters.
I think that's why everyone's in groups, isn't it? So rather than having a load of individuals, they've split them off into the New York lot, the Wakandan lot, and then the lot that may be going to space. Because you couldn't have 40, 50 big individual scenes. For a start, it wouldn't even tie together. It would just feel like a series of shorts.
No, and I think if you come together with one huge battle in the second film, you've had all that groundwork before it. Do you know what I mean? It makes sense.
It's realistic that they'll have fought together in groups, and then all of a sudden, you know, Black Panther might be able to say, you know, well, this is how you get the best out of War Machine. I don't know.
And you're right with the smaller groups as well, because Thor, in search of his new weapon, goes off with Groot and Rocket.
Which
and
makes total sense, because Rocket's an inventor. So Rocket might be able to help him cobble something together. I'm really intrigued
about that interplay, man. I think it's going to be fun.
Or if there's machinery there and he doesn't know how to use it, well, Rocket's the kind of guy that might be able to say, well, that looks like a such and such a thing. You know, the guy sits down and makes bombs out of junk, so he clearly knows his way around an engine or whatever.
Yeah, he knows his way around tech. Yeah, he does.
That seamlessly lends us into the Guardians landing. We don't know where they're landing, but we see the Milano or some kind of a ship land, and they're all getting off.
Do we think they're going in search of the stone... That the collectors, or has he not got it anymore? Is he? I can't remember.
Well, there's a scene where Thanos goes to the collector, and it looks like Thanos beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Because he's got one of the stones, hasn't he? He's got the ether.
Yeah.
Because in one of the post-credit scenes, we see Lady Sif and the big fat fucker who I forget from the Warriors 3. They take.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He actually had the ether before he had the power stone.
Yeah.
And their logic was it's not a good idea to have two stones in the same place at the same time. And Asgard at the time had the cosmic cube. So, yeah, maybe they've gone back there to try and get the ether only to find out that he's had the shit kicked out of him. And then they maybe end up going to Earth. But it's just it's brilliant knowing that finally the cosmic universe is going to land on Earth and we finally get the Guardians.
It is.
I mean, and it's going to be poetic as well because it's Quill's homecoming. You know, he's not been on Earth.
Yeah, it is. And I hope they give enough to that, man, because it is a big deal. It is a big deal. He's been gone his whole life or the majority of his life. Do you know what I mean? Since he was 8 or 10 or whatever it was. So it's quite a significant thing. And obviously,
it needs paying
well,
off, doesn't
he's
it?
Got his MP3 player now, but him coming to Earth will be a bit of a shock.
hey, that'll be it. Maybe he leaves Earth with an actual, like, an iPod or something.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of product placement.
128 gig?
it'd be intriguing how that happens. But I think they're obviously involved in a... Well, we'll get to you'll get to the battle that they're involved in with Spidey and Doctor Strange a little bit later.
Yeah,
so we'll come back to that. But it's intrigued with them. They're obviously going to be heavily involved with Thor, and like we said, Thor will go off in search.
That's actually one of the things I'm most looking forward to is Thor and the Guardians.
I am too. You know, because it is they seem like a good link. Obviously, Thor is. Asgard, he's travelled more than any of the ones from, you know, who've just been earthbound. Do you know what I mean? He has more of an understanding.
The Guardians will probably see him as what he is, which is basically an alien, whereas people on Earth consider him to be a god, whereas he's not really a god.
He's Odin. A god in his planet as such, but he's not a god in reality terms, is
well,
he?
Well, Odin says it in one of the films, you know, Asgardians live and Asgardians die. You know, they might live for 10,000 years, but they're not gods. They just appear to be gods.
They're not immortal,
who only live for, 80 years or something. So that it makes sense, because they're going to sort of be like, oh, okay, you what? The god of thunder? You're not a god, though, are you?
I'm quite excited about what Rocket says.
Rocket's just going to take him down a peg or two,
I hope he does.
And he's clearly going to have something to say about fucking Groot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, can you? I've just thought, you know what will be a brilliant interaction? Drax and Thor.
It could be. I just think he's the right character, because we've, and it's hard not to get to it, but there's an interaction between Star-Lord and Iron Man, but those two actors are almost identical in a lot of ways. Next. Do you know what I mean?
So I think you've just done that segue with where Quill's taking down Stark's plan by basically telling him that his plan's shit.
Essentially, yeah, and the look on Peter's face, on Peter Parker's face, it's just priceless. That, man, at that point.
To me, that doesn't look like Peter Parker's face. That looks like Tom Holland. That almost looks like an outtake. And he went, you know what? That looks really funny. Leave it in.
Yeah, it does look funny.
He just looks like he's about to piss himself laughing. Like, what? You can't say that to Iron Man.
I know, and it's funny because they won't give a shit who Iron Man is. Do you know what I mean? They won't care about any of this. They don't care about anyone or anything, though, do they? They're just very much,
because everything that happens
universe,
on Earth,
their galaxy,
is small beans compared to what they've been. They're like, yeah, we've saved the galaxy twice. Oh, you saved Earth, just little Earth. Oh, that's so
exactly.
I'm sure Rocket will say something about that if Tony tries to big himself up.
Yeah, I wonder whether you're going to get those two together in this film. I'm not sure you will, because I think it's more they will meet at some level, whether it's the ship, whether it's Titan, for the battle. But I think it's where Star-Lord is involved, and obviously Doctor Strange.
We're looking forward to the tech council of Shuri, Tony, and Rocket.
I don't think we'll see it this time. I don't even think we'll see Tony and Shuri together at this one, but I think in the future.
Maybe in the fourth one we will.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they won't all be alive.
Ooh. Hashtag Rory prediction for once.
Well, I just wonder whether they're going to go brave in it. I worry, but I think if they don't do something of significance, they're going to need a cliffhanger that makes you, that gets that excitement and that anger maybe towards Thanos, So
yeah.
I'm worried I'm going to have to cover my son's eyes to see the death of one of his heroes. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be interesting.
And then the next big scene is one of the ones I was most looking forward to, is Hulkbuster Mark II.
Oh.
Now, should we spoil the Hulkbuster thing based on the Lego set, or should we leave
it? I think everyone knows it by now, I think.
In case anyone doesn't, just spoiler warning. Lego released a Lego set that basically implies very strongly that inside the Hulkbuster armor this time is Bruce Banner. Not maybe even Hulk. We don't know which one it is, but it looks like it's Banner.
I think he's going to be Banner for the large part. I think he's going to be Banner. I have this Lego set. I think he's going to be Banner in the suit, because he's kind of, I don't know what's going to have happened to him, but I wonder whether when he comes back down to Earth,
he doesn't want to be Hulk
maybe
again.
Doctor Strange. Well, I don't think he does.
Well, because didn't he? He was Hulk for 2 years or something straight.
And I think he wants to fight it. I think he wants to be himself. I think he wants to be Bruce. But
sure, wasn't there a line or something in Ragnarok where
there probably was? But I need to rewatch it.
I'm sure there was something where he said he was worried that one time he was going to change and not come back.
Yeah, there is something along those lines.
And that's what's happened. And I think that did, in the comics that did happen, where eventually he was the Hulk all the time. But the difference there was he was the Hulk, but he had Banner's consciousness, whereas now they're still very much in the whole Hulk.
And I don't think
like
they're
Banner.
Wanting to be the Hulk the whole period, because his interaction with Black Widow, and it's too much. I think the other thing as well, we know he becomes the Hulk again, because when the battle happens in Wakanda, and
we've
that incredible gif in that scene from the first trailer, it's him hulked up. So whether Shuri, there was some interesting theory on Emergency, whether Shuri maybe can remote control the suit, the Hulkbuster, with like she did with the car in Korea.
Oh, that would be even better than driving a car.
That'd be badass. Or maybe it's just once Banner is out of the suit, whether it's just
he Hulks.
Or maybe the thing is, you see that maybe the suit gets destroyed because you see all those aliens,
all those
with six arms
attacking.
Just attack it, and they pin it down with about 25 of them.
I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do a prediction. He starts off fighting in the Hulkbuster because he doesn't want to lose control and become the Hulk. The suit gets destroyed, so he has to just swallow his pride, Hulk up, and then he starts ripping the shit out of all of those things.
Well, let's see. I hope so.
Got to be done.
We see a little bit more. We see a lot more of Wakanda, don't we?
Wakanda is meant to be one of the major...
because all of the characters from Black Panther are quite prominent in this film.
Well, yeah,
I don't think
Shuri,
they will be.
Nakia,
they won't be in the
Okoye.
Second film because it's not going to be in Wakanda. The second film, do you know? You know that it's
some of the characters.
This is about the stone. Some of the characters will, but I don't think as many. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's quite interesting how much we'll get of that. But we see that pretty damn cool ship, which is I think in that part of the trailer when Cap and Black Widow are on that really cool space cruiser in Wakanda. And then we get that link from the first film where it's, you know, get this man a shield, you know, all defenses and all that kind of stuff. Because that's the point, isn't it? It's when the attack is coming to Wakanda to presumably go after Vision Stone, because I think he's there as well.
Yeah. So then after that, another big payoff is Thor. It looks like Thor's finished his new weapon in the Space Forge, and he holds it to the sky, and you see the lightning come down, but you don't actually see his weapon. So they're clearly holding the reveal until the actual...
Even though everyone already bloody knows. Well, Legend has ruined it as much as anyone else.
Well, and they've released the official plastic replica toy.
Yeah.
So I've said, and they've said it is Stormbreaker, which is a combination of a battle axe and a warhammer.
It looks pretty damn cool.
It's cool. Yeah. It's a combination of two different weapons that he's had, and one of them is from the Ultimates universe. And they've basically amalgamated the two.
I like that they do things like that. I like that they still make things different. You know, they could just go pure comic route all the time. Because he's had plenty of different weapons. But, you know...
Well, everyone thought it was going to be, I think it's called Yarbjorn.
Yeah, exactly.
They've basically mixed Yarbjorn and Stormbreaker together. And it looks cool. It's going to look cool as shit.
Yeah.
And then probably my favourite scene of the whole trailer, even though it's one of the quietest ones, it looks like we get the backstory of when Gamora was taken, because you see Thanos in his full battle armour and
tiny
he holds his
Gamora
hand out, and this tiny little green hand grabs hold of his finger. And as he turns and walks away with this child, you see all of his troops, and it looks like they're getting ready to execute a whole load of people.
Well, Jacob was like, "Christ, how big is he?" I was like, Gamora's quite small. It's, you know, it's at that point.
Well, he is something like about 10. I think he's about 9 or 10 foot tall.
Oh, he is colossal. I mean, he is, man.
He is from a race called the Titans, so he's never going to
be
3 foot tall. He's not going to be gag size, is he?
No, he's not. He's not going to be my height. He's more like your height, but a little bit. You
he's
know,
a
more
little bit more
than,
muscly than me. Just
muscle
a little
than
bit.
Stomach, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that looks like a good one. So
that looks amazing. And I love the armor in that section. I think it looks really cool. We've not seen any of the Chitauri since they all got wiped out, essentially. So that's Chitauri at that point. So it'd be quite cool to see all that.
And then that takes us into the next scene, which is Loki with the Black Order, aka they're calling the children of Thanos. But
mate,
it looks
Black
like he's
Order
actually
looks
been captured.
So cool.
Yeah, but you mentioned before, we haven't got a lot of information about who's doing it. All
we don't know who's playing them necessarily. We don't.
No.
There's only two actors confirmed for them, but there's two not. But we do get to see a lot more of what they do. And we do get to see... we've seen a little bit of Proxima Midnight, but not a lot, because it was quite shrouded in mystery in the first one. But we see her with a spear there.
She's the one that's holding the spear to Loki, isn't she?
Yeah.
And then we also
She's married to Corvus Glaive, isn't she?
I think so. I think I remember that from.
So there's kind of power couple. He's all powerful, and like Thanos is right hand man.
Yeah.
And then we see Black Dwarf, but I think they call it something else in this. But he's involved in the Sanctum Sanctorum battle as well. He looks pretty incredible.
And we see, huge out of all guy. Of them, we see more of Ebony Maw in this one as well. And Ebony Maw is the one that looks like he's torturing Doctor Strange.
We think it'd be, I think it'll be like a, they might not go full the psychological magic route that he's got. I think they'll play him off like a dark powered Doctor Strange, essentially. Do you know
like
what I mean?
Like a dark magician of some kind.
Yeah, I think they'll go that kind of route from what I think, because they can't overcomplicate things too much. But we see that incredible scene with Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and he's like, he's getting suspended upside down, and it looks like he's got little loads of glass tubes about to go into his skin.
Yeah.
And as you just mentioned then, I only found this out about an hour ago. There was an angle in the comics where Ebony Maw uses his mental powers, and he actually controls Doctor Strange, and he becomes a double agent for Thanos. And I think you're right when you said before, he probably won't do that, but they maybe will use the whole where he can't use his magic to break him, but he's able to break him psychically. Because the key thing about Doctor Strange going into this film is Doctor Strange is one of the only people in the universe that knows the location of all of the Infinity Stones. And of course, nobody knows where the Soul Stone is, and that might be the one that they're looking for, because we know where the other five are, and that could be the final piece. It might not work. It could be that Doctor Strange is able to resist it, but it's another nice payoff for the story.
I want to see where Doctor Strange has come, because we'll have a lot more power from Doctor Strange in the future, but I don't think he's fully developed either. Do you know what I mean? He's not going to be a long way on. Obviously, we saw him in Ragnarok and having some level of power, but I think the Black Order are going to be some match for the heroes, let alone
they've
Thanos.
Been doing it a lot longer than he has, especially Ebony Maw. Ebony Maw seems to be quite old, so he
looks cool, man. And obviously, they're all CG. It might be makeup on Proxima Midnight. That might be different. Do you know what I mean? But
she's the most human-looking, isn't she?
Heavy amount of CG on the rest, and it looks really good. I honestly do. Having been a bit nervous, I think it looks ace. I mean, are we at the point of the big scene at the end?
Well, the next one, logically, was Thanos crushing the Cosmic Cube. So it looks like maybe Loki...
We kind of touched on this earlier,
has either delivered it, or maybe Loki was trying to take it away. Because Loki seems to be in a bit of an in-between where he's kind of trying to do the right thing, but he's still being a bit of a dick. And then
Loki all over.
Basically. And then you see the Cosmic Cube, remembering how powerful it was, go right back to Captain America, the First Avenger. It was creating havoc across the world during World War II. It was powering all Hydra weapons, and Thanos just picks it up and crushes it as if it was a raw egg. And obviously, when he crushes it, it will release the stone that's inside it in the same way that we saw with the...
We see him at the end with two stones, right?
It looks like we only see him with two, but there's a possibility he might have three, with the third one being on his thumb.
The other thing they might have done, a bit like the old eye trick with Thor, is maybe Emergency Awesome, I'm taking this from, maybe a bit of clever, a bit like you mentioned CG. With Thor's new bit of CG there.
Yeah.
I think at that point in the film, we're deeming the battles to be later in the film, I would imagine. You know, it seems like there's a lot to build up towards that. Although they've got to spread the action out, but I think the Wakanda battle is quite a big thing in there. Before the end battle with Iron Man on which we'll talk about. But that scene with Cap, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's so tense, but you can see the strength of Cap, and you can see the shock on Thanos' face.
Well, yeah, Thanos is clearly expecting to be able to crush him like a bug, and Cap is giving it all, and he's holding his own against the guy that's like about 9 or 10 foot tall, probably weighs himself in tons, and he's obviously yielding
and Cap
an infinity
is just
stone.
Cap. There's no, you know, I know he's enhanced, but he's just not a god.
He's a human.
He's not got a special suit. He's not got special powers like Spider-Man and such. He's just a human, really. It's quite amazing how Journey's come on. I hope they don't do the white. I hope Cap isn't the one that's sacrificed, because it will just destroy a generation of people, I think.
Yeah,
it'll destroy our whole side of people, do you know, because we're a whole Team.
Yeah, I'm not letting Team Iron Man win after all this time.
I'm really not. I'll be devastated. Because he's gone on such a journey, you know? Like, when you watch these Captain America films, and Civil War was epic, it really was. But it's an emotional journey. He's gone through an awful lot, probably as much as anyone.
And especially you think the way we left it at the end of Civil War, where he's abandoned the shield, he's basically walked away from the title of Captain America.
Yeah.
He's become, it looks like Nomad, or at the very least, he's just Steve Rogers. You know, he's not Captain America anymore.
Yes.
He's had to spit in the face of one friend to save the life of another. And like you say, he's been on a hell of a journey. And yes, for him to potentially, it looks like that might be coming, because Cap looks a bit battered then. It looks like it might be coming right at the end of a fight.
He's a nice, clean-cut guy from, you know, he was always the clean-cut one. He's Mr. America, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's Mr. Pro-America. He's Mr. Pro-being good. He's Mr. Pro-not swearing, for God's sake.
Language.
You know, it's a big journey for him. And there's a few harsh realities in that last film. And he knows what good against evil is, but it takes on new forms in Civil War, and it's changed his persona and his personality. And it's changed his mission and what he believes in. Do you know what I mean? He cares more about his friend than a crusade. Do you know what I mean? He realizes what's important to him. So it's quite interesting where they go with it. We see at that point as well around then that we've got the new vibranium arm which might have powers a bit like the nano suit you mentioned, that it can evolve into different things.
Maybe. Oh, that would be cool if it did.
That would be cool. As the White Wolf, we will see.
Yeah.
And yeah, the whole battle around Wakanda looks immense, man. It really does. It looks
Wakanda
crazy.
Just looks like a brilliant setting for any fight, because it's so open.
Does. Yeah, rather, it is open.
We've seen the battles in New York
and the cities.
Was it in Doctor Strange, they had a decent fight? Was it in Hong Kong they went
to? It was Hong Kong, yeah.
So we've seen the city fights. It'd be nice to have something a little bit more open.
Well, we mentioned that with Wakanda in the first instance. We liked the difference in backdrop and the scale and the style of it. It was just different.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of city, you know, Spider-Man and Avengers and everything is all generally city-related. It's always the big mix-up with, like, Ragnarok was a big change in direction and the same, you know, in Black Panther, and it'd be good to get a battle there. It looks like it's going to be pretty huge on scale, so it's going to be amazing at the cinema.
And then we get to something a little bit more lighthearted with Spider-Man showing his age again when he's introducing himself to Doctor Strange. He says, "Oh, hi, I'm Peter." Doctor Strange, oh, we're using our made-up names. Oh, well, in that case, I'm Spider-Man. Not, you know, our code names or our super names are made-up names.
It's a so nice cute thing. Yeah, he is cute, man. He is cute. He's the different style of superhero. He's very fresh-faced and new, and he's had a few lessons, and, you know, it was some of our evolution in Homecoming, but I think, yeah, we've still got a lot more to come from this version of Spider-Man, because he's going to be in many more films to come. So.
And then, speaking of things to come from Spider-Man, then you see him, the best look at the Iron Spider suit in that scene.
Without,
and then straight
the
after
Spider
that,
add-ons, yeah.
The bit when he's flying through all the debris in space.
Oh, that's so cool.
I can't remember who it was, so apologies if you're listening, but somebody mentioned to me on Twitter that he was expecting the arms to come out the suit, and I think that could be another red herring CGI.
It's CG, man. I think you'll see it. You only got what is a 5-second clip of him jumping through. You know, it's 5 or 6, 7 seconds of him jumping through that. So if you see the arms come out at that point, there'll still be time for that to happen. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be really damn cool when it does. They can't keep that hidden. Well, they've done really well to keep it all hidden. You know, they've only hinted at enough, and they've got to release merchandise, and they've got to release posters and everything that goes along with it. So I think it's done really well to get you excited, give you a good idea of the structure and the story, but not overkill. Do you know what I mean? You don't know everything. I think we know little, to be honest. We always go in and come out surprised about certain elements of the films, don't we? So
yeah. So that's basically it. That takes us to the end of it. The only other point I had down was, as we mentioned before, no Hawkeye.
No.
And the Russos have explained this and said, because of what happened in Civil War, Hawkeye is, quote, on his own journey. Now, I took that to mean literally. And I mentioned, and I think it was when we did the other preview pod, the other reaction pod, I wonder if he's abandoning the Hawkeye name and he's going by his Ronin name. I actually think that he might be tasked with finding the Soul Gem. Soul Stone, whichever you want to call it.
Well, it'd be interesting if they kept the stone back from the gauntlet, this film.
I think they will.
I think they'll keep one back.
My original prediction was that the last thing we would see at the end of this film was the infamous finger snap. But I don't think we will now with the fact they've already paid that off with Gamora.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think you'd see it twice.
Maybe he'd do it. But it won't have the full gauntlet. So it maybe doesn't wipe out all life, but it does something like maybe it transports a load of the heroes away from wherever they are.
It'd be intriguing what they do for the second film, because I think you already got a sense of it's going to be a standalone film in its own right, but it's obviously going to have everything that's come before and obviously what's to come next. But it's going to be intriguing.
And that year gap.
It's going to be horrible.
Painful. It is going to be torturous.
You're going to have to plan another wedding just to get through it.
No.
No.
I'm going to go with a big, fat, hairy no to
maybe
that.
Maybe we'll have to just make our own comic or do something productive with our lives for a year and just try and find something.
I refuse to do something productive.
I know.
It's not
games
in my MO.
In your pants, eat crisps, whatever.
I'm game for all of that.
Yeah, it sounds like your kind of Friday night. It's going to be epic, and I mean, I'm super excited about it. It's hard to contain the few weeks that we've got to go, but it's been huge build up to this. But I think it just looks. I'd had a couple of nervy moments because it's such a big film to get right, and there's a lot of characters and a lot of development still to do. But I think it looks every inch. And I think the stuff people point to about CGI and stuff, you said it wasn't quite finished to me earlier, but it looks immense, man. Thanos looks perfect for me. I think he looks really good. And I think the voice is just great.
It looks like a cracking piece
of casting. Josh Brolin has got that really menacing voice. He's really growly, grizzly, but
he's got a booming voice, hasn't he, that you'd expect from someone whose name is Thanos the Mad Titan.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see. I think the interesting thing is we'll see a backstory with Thanos. We'll get to know the character, but I think in the second film you'll see a bit more of him. Even still, I think that might pan more into him after we know the real strength of him and after he's got the gauntlet and maybe his kind of methods behind his madness, really. So it's going to be really intriguing what way to go with it. And the worry is what characters they might decide to kill off, because I think they will. And then they might not just have to be less essential ones. I think they might do something brave.
Well, there's one thing to keep in mind with all of this. Don't forget that Doctor Strange has got the Eye of Agamotto, which
for a while... For a while he does.
Yeah, true.
Not for the whole thing, I don't think.
But
he will lose it.
By the end of the fourth film, he's bound to get the Eye of Agamotto back, in which case anyone that dies in the third film could be brought back.
Yeah.
They started to be a bit braver with
when they kill people off. I mean, it's been mainly villains, but they've started to be a bit more brave about this. So I think... And we said, we said the bits of the roadie, man, he's looking old. You said he is old. I know he is. But, you can't keep these characters going forever. They need to freshen things up at one stage or another. And I'm not saying I won't miss them all, but I think a few of them have maybe run their course. And I think it's about time we have a bit of a shift change, just in their view, because this is the culmination of all those years of films and work. So I think you will get characters wanting to go off. I know Evans wants to go off and do other things.
I said to a friend of mine before, he's changed his tune recently.
Well,
For about the last 12 months, they did a change in Disney and the higher ups. And since then, he's been a lot more happy. and he's being a lot more positive.
Well, he's doing indie films on the side and interesting films and projects. It's not like they can't do that. I just think it must be so much on their lives. Do you know what I mean? Because the conventions and the walking down the street, and that's Captain America. And I know he's not going to get away from that. That's him for life. But you know what I mean? Like, actors maybe don't always just want to be that one character. But I mean, when they play it so well, and when they are that character, what can you do? That's that. We hope it's going to be as good as it looks. And I can't not think it will be. Civil War just set the mold, man. It set the benchmark, didn't it? And I think
it really did.
Yeah. So, are we good?
Yeah, very good. I am so looking forward to this. And I've already booked my tickets now. As everyone knows, I'm on my honeymoon when this comes out. And I've just booked tickets to go and see it. On the 26th in LA.
Mate, that's going to be ace.
I'm so fucking excited. And I've just bought the t-shirt that I'm going to wear on the night. And it's the Infinity Gauntlet giving the middle finger, and it just says Infinity Fuck on it.
Yeah, that's a t-shirt you would wear.
Oh, sorry, no, it says Fuck Off, but it's called the Infinity Fuck t-shirt.
Of course it is.
And if anyone wants it, it's on QWERTY.com, which is a brilliant website.
Are you getting paid for that? Or are you getting it free? I don't think we do sponsorship.
I'm not allowed to answer that question, otherwise the AI lawyers will be giving me nasty phone calls again and throwing shit at me window.
We should get involved. If people listen to this podcast, amazingly, we appreciate everyone that does. And it'd be nice to have a couple of times. It'd be nice to get the odd thing for free. We got sent a pretty cool comic book that I've kind of half read, but I'm a busy man, which was cool before it was released. And yeah, anything else any readers want to send our way? Any premiere tickets to Infinity Wars? Any backstage passes?
Anything edible? I'm simple. Yeah. I'll take things I can eat.
Yeah, you would.
If I can eat it, wear it.
Any Lego? I promote Lego more than anyone. Jesus. Anyway, that's us. Thank you for all listening and sharing in our excitement for this film, really. There's a huge buzz around the internet and Twitter, and it's what social media is good at for me.
And please really do share your thoughts with us on Twitter and let us know what you think. If you've got any theories and predictions, let us know and keep the conversation going.
We're
going to
do our memorable moments of Marvel, aren't we? We're going to do our top scenes from Marvel. Road to Infinity Wars at some stage. So do fire us over your top three, top five favourite Marvel scenes. And we'll read some of them out. We'll talk about some of them. We're kind of going to do that ahead of the maybe kind of preview, although we've been kind of previewing this as we go, aren't we? This film is huge. So we'll see how that goes. And we might just take a closer look at Thanos, and we'll have some articles and various stuff around this film, because it is huge for us. It's our culmination of 2.5 years of podcasting, really. So thank you very much for listening, Stu.
Cheers, everyone.
And we're back with you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.